Hi, everybody. Before we get into the program today, let me explain to you why you should become a subscriber at subscribestar.com/wrongthinkradio. We want to be funded directly by our audience. We don't want to have to worry about whether or not the information we bring you sells more pillows, dick pills, or gold. We want to have the voice of the people behind our program. So stop listening to programs that tell you how to think and start listening to a program that tells the world what you think. That's subscribestar.com/wrongthinkradio. It's only $2.99 a month to help support independent media.
You're about to enter the intersection of common sense and facts, where media bias ends and truth begins. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrong Think Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Wrong Think Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Bierlein, broadcasting from just outside the nation's capital in beautiful Northern Virginia, and welcome to the intersection of common sense and facts. Our top story for today, which this is the news of the day for the 8th of July, 2020, and our top story is the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of Catholic schools, citing ministerial exemption. Now, there's actually a couple of rulings that came out of the Supreme Court that were good when it came to religious exemptions, one of which involving the Affordable Care Act, forcing people to have to pay for things like contraceptive, which went against the wishes of like the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, because they're nuns and they don't really want to pay for killing babies or things that are against their religion. So the Supreme Court ruled that, religious institutions get exemptions from things like that, basically crisis of conscience. Another ruling that did come out, there were two employees that were suing Our Lady of Guadalupe, which was a school claiming that they were discriminated against. One was age discrimination and the other, I'm not actually sure, I don't remember. But the ruling was pretty quickly done, and the concept that they used for the ruling wasn't really about, they didn't even really debate discrimination or things like that. The I believe it was Justice Alito who wrote the opinion on it, and he stated that the school's employment decision would threaten the court ruling on the school's employment decision would threaten the school's independence in a way that the First Amendment doesn't allow. So it was based off the idea that the First Amendment talks about the ability for, you know, free assembly and, you know, the state can't interfere with religion. Since it's a religious institution, the court does not want to rule on employment decisions because there are several employment decisions that could be religiously based. And that makes sense. But it does kind of create a curious question for me. So I guess the best way for me to really just sort of look at it is, the basis of not accepting the arguments of the employees was because of the First Amendment, meaning that the school is protected under the First Amendment. It clearly states freedom to practice religion. But what about all the people who keep losing their jobs because of, like, cancel culture and their free expression? It just, these days, it just takes, you know, an angry liberal with a cell phone or somebody trolling through a Twitter account or a Facebook account. And we actually have stories later that we'll get to today where if they disagree with somebody, they go and push and try to get them fired or removed in one form or fashion, either from school, from work, or what have you. They punish them for their political views or maybe even their religious views, depending on what it is. And it's precarious. This is a precarious discussion to have because we are talking about the First Amendment. We would like it to be egalitarian. But when you talk to establishment conservatives, their reaction, for instance, when we bring up like big tech, you talk about Twitter or Facebook, how they ban conservatives, or they'll ban conservatives for their opinion. Establishment conservatives will thump their chest and talk about the free market. They'll defend it. They'll say it's a free market. But would they hold the same principles if a company, say, decided that they didn't want to hire somebody based off of their sexuality, their religion, or their political opinion? Is that also not a free market decision? Why is it that when we talk about things like freedom of expression or free market, why is it when we talk about these things, how come conservatives will defend Twitter and Facebook for saying that they don't want to serve conservative customers? They don't want to have conservative voices. But I guarantee you that if a company said, I don't want to employ homosexuals, it goes against my religion, would those same conservatives rush to defend them? Or let's be honest, what if it was something even more like untoward? Somebody said, I just don't want to hire black people. Would those principles still apply? And how come not? Or let's just say a store doesn't want to serve those people. I don't want those types of people in my store. I don't feel like they should represent my store. How come there's a difference there? Because to me, there shouldn't be. Either you're big on free market and you say that the businesses can decide whoever they want to hire, whoever they want to sponsor, whoever they want affiliated with their business, they can make that decision 100%, doesn't matter, which means that you would have to get rid of things like Title IX protection. You can't talk about employment discrimination anymore, because what does it matter? They don't want those people representing their business, and therefore, there you go. So get rid of Title IX if you really believe the free market is more important than free speech. Even though I understand there's an interesting argument there. I mean, a business doesn't affect the First Amendment is to protect you against the government, not a business. Somebody telling you can't talk about politics at work isn't really infringing on your First Amendment. It's just part of how this works. Point is, take it all the way. Get rid of Title IX protections if you truly believe the free market is more important. And the reason why I bring that up is because what we're seeing here is we keep seeing establishment conservatives sitting on the fence. They're just sitting on the fence. And so does every business get to make the decision what opinions their employees can hold? This is talking about big tech. But does every business get to make the decision of what opinions their employees can hold? And or is it a right only reserved for the businesses that lobby your campaigns? That's my question. How come big tech gets those protections, but other businesses don't? I just say this because it's interesting using this Catholic school ruling where the First Amendment was applied as a launch point to talk about conservative failings when it comes to whether or not they think free market is more important or free speech is more important. Because that's what a lot of people are already facing. In fact, I have a story here where, of course, conservatives don't agree with this and they would go against it, but they don't go hard enough and they don't really lean in where they should. A Marquette University freshman faces potential dismissal from school over a pro-Trump video. The freshman posted her first mistake was posting anything on TikTok, but she here we go. Sorry, I had the video right here. Well, not the video, but here's a screenshot from the video. It was her dancing. For those of you who don't know, TikTok's just short videos, but it was her dancing. And on it, she has written, then try to hate on me and think I'll change my views. And it's her dancing around and she has a Trump 2020 flag in the window. And she also has a Marquette University sign 2024 because she's heading to Marquette University. Well, she was accepted. Well, and the way that this is written, this is from the College Fix. Soon to be Marquette University freshman Samantha Pfefferl has yet to even set foot on campus. Yet she has said she's already facing possible dismissal from the school. She was grilled by staff with hypothetical questions about things like, "What if a dreamer lived on your dorm room floor and felt threatened by your opinions?" This is over a TikTok video, and a TikTok video where all she says is that she has opinions that people are going to hate because she supports Trump. The school would not answer. In fact, she actually got a school administrator to admit that she had not been, even though she, by the way, she had her class schedule, she knew her roommates, she had already paid. And they were saying, well, you're still not admitted yet. Since this blew up as a story, the school has now come out and said, yes, you are being accepted to the university. But she had to go through a grueling administrative process and basically get grilled by the administrators because she supported Trump. That's it. They considered it hostile views. They didn't know whether or not she could go to school. Now, of course, conservatives will line up behind her, and they should, because that's ridiculous. Universities saying that you can't come and you can't go to school there because you support Trump. And the idea that the left has continually just turned supporting Trump into a crime. Into a crime. Just because the liberal left ties everything. Everything that the liberal left disagrees with is hatred and bigotry and racism. They now tie that to supporting Trump. If you support Trump, you're a hateful, bigoted racist. And we have to figure out a way that we're going to address this. This isn't something we can just vote our way out of. We can't just vote our way out of the idea that universities literally feel like it's okay for them to just not have students that are conservative. To literally connect not voting for somebody you don't like with hatred, bigotry, and danger and a threat. How many times do we have to sit here and listen to some of these milquetoast conservatives and every liberal out there talking about how Trump is dividing America, but we're seeing college administrators not wanting to even have a conservative on their campus? How many times do we see people having their jobs threatened just because of who they support politically? Who's really dividing America? When are you going to start actually acknowledging it? This isn't a game anymore. Voting in 2020 isn't going to save us from institutions that have been inundated by Marxism. Voting in 2020, another Trump victory, isn't going to save us from the fact that the liberal left has literally drawn a line in the sand and says that we cannot coexist anymore. No matter how much rope or attempted egalitarianism you want to give the liberal left, they have signaled entirely as a group, and the Democrat Party's included in this. The Democrat Party is included in the fact that they have decided that we cannot coexist. They don't want conservatives to exist. They don't want us in businesses. They don't want us in churches. They don't want us in universities. They don't want us to have any part in the nation. The nation that the Democrats have signaled they want to build does not include any of you. It doesn't include anyone who supports Trump. It doesn't include anyone who's not a Marxist. And this isn't the fringe. Stop saying it's the far left. Stop saying it's the progressive left. Show me anybody in the Democrat Party who is standing against universities trying to kick this person out. Show me anyone in the Democrat Party who's standing against cancel culture. Show me anyone in the Democrat Party who is defending people who wear MAGA hats and get assaulted. Show me anyone in the Democrat Party who doesn't absolutely celebrate the phrasing that Donald Trump's a racist, bigoted, hateful person who has nothing but a base full of racists. Show me anyone in the Democrat Party, and then I will believe that this is a fringe idea. It's not a fringe idea. It's a mainstream idea from the party itself. So stop pretending like we're not way further down the road than you want us to believe. We can't just vote ourselves out of it. Conservatives, you need to signal that you're willing to defend everyone, that you're willing to actually be part of the battle that is going to save us from this garbage. All right. San Francisco, by the way, just voted. This is our next story. It's a terrible segue, I know. But San Francisco just voted that they are going to make it a hate crime for you to call the police. This was posted by Shimon Walton, who is one of the people on the board of supervisors. And it says, racist 911 calls are unacceptable. That's why I'm introducing the Karen Act. Oh, it's so cute. At today's San Francisco Board of Supervisors meeting. This is the Karen we need. Caution against racially exploitive non-emergencies. This is based off of the fact that a woman made a call in Central Park, claiming that she felt threatened. And a lot of people saw that video and everybody got angry with her. She got actually fined with a misdemeanor because she was called a racist. She called because he was a black man. She was threatened, by the way. That's the interesting part. The guy totally did threaten her, and it was kind of a setup because somebody explained to me why a man bird watching, that's what we're supposed to believe. This black man was bird watching because tons of people do that in 2020. Whole lot of bird watchers hanging around. But he was bird watching in 2020, and he had dog biscuits in his pocket because that's not weird. Those are two weird things. Bird watching, dog treats in your pocket. That's not weird. Nobody thinks that's weird. Come on. It was a setup. Plus, he was recording. Of course, he got it on video. How perfect. She lost her job, by the way. So San Francisco wants to charge people if you call the police and if the police believe, or possibly even if the victim believes, that you were doing it for racial reasons. Basically, let's just get to the facts here. It makes reporting black crime illegal. Nobody's going to want to call the police on a black man because for fear that they're going to get in trouble, for fear that they might be called a racist, for fear that they might get charged with a hate crime, probably lose their job. Because do you think liberals will let somebody charged with a hate crime continue to work anywhere? 100%. Absolutely not. So you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your livelihood. So if your neighbors, if their house is getting broken into, sad on them. Not going to risk the livelihood of my family if I accidentally make a mistake. So my neighbors will probably get murdered, but too much of a risk, man. If I see a woman yelling for help and it just so happens to be a minority, I don't know. Maybe it's a fight. Sorry, ma'am. I can't help you. It's not worth risking my livelihood. That's what happens. And speaking of that little hypothetical scenario, how does this work against the believe all survivors, believe all women hashtag? Because there's going to be a conflict there. Because if somebody could be lying about a potential assault, attempted sexual assault, attempted rape, you're saying that if somebody's lying about that, it would be racism, right? But people don't lie about those things, right? It's believe all survivors, believe all women. Women don't lie about rape. So which way is it? Are we going to end up having to see the identity politics Olympics in real, like right in front of our faces in a trial? Are we going to have to see if women are believed more, or is it that, you know, minorities don't commit crime, or which one's it going to balance out? This is going to be really interesting. We could probably take bets on this. There could be some pretty high books in Las Vegas in that inevitable court trial where we have to see which side is going to battle off. You know, all it's going to take is a minority man and a woman claiming that he was trying to sexually assault her. And he claims that she just said that because he was a brown person. And then we get to just watch the left in San Francisco explode. The entire city might just burn to the ground because they can't handle it. They won't even know what to do. I mean, seriously, how is that going to work? Because that's going to be my defense. If I were a minority in San Francisco, that would be my defense 100% every single time. I wasn't doing anything. That person's a racist. Why wouldn't you do that? This is the most idiotic type of law ever. But this is how liberals think. And just to point it out, by the way, San Francisco has heroin needles and human crap in their streets. There are people literally pooping in their streets in broad daylight, heroin needles all over the place, in parks where kids play. Their top priority? Naming something Karen because, haha, I saw it on the social media, and punishing people for calling the police by claiming that it's racist. Fantastic. Great job. You voted for this, San Francisco. You deserve it. Great. I let us know how it works out. If you would like to come back to America, where we have logical people, you can do so on November 3rd. And that's by pulling the other lever. You know, the one that you keep pulling that now results in the fact that people with AIDS don't have to tell you they have AIDS. The one that results in poop in your streets and heroin needles. The lever that you pulled that now results in the fact that you're going to be called a racist if you call the police on somebody who is darker than you. Yeah, pull the other lever this time. See what happens. What do you have to lose? Because not much, going to be honest. What do you have to lose? All right. Another interesting thing, speaking of California, because they're just a wasteland, two people are being charged with a hate crime because they painted over a Black Lives Matter mural, as they say. It was they painted Black Lives Matter on the streets, and these people started painting over it, and they are now being charged with a hate crime because that just makes sense. So it's a hate crime for you. This is what's interesting. So what did I miss? When did I miss the point that vandalism stopped being okay? Because for the last month and a half, vandalism was peaceful protest. Vandalism was angry people who had something to say. Vandalism was just, they just needed space. They just need space to riot. When did that stop being okay? When I missed the memo where vandalism stopped being okay. Because the liberals are tearing down statues and burning buildings and beating people and dragging them out of their cars and shooting 8-year-old girls. And that's all peaceful protest. That's the summer of love. But these people painted over Black Lives Matter and they're being charged with a hate crime. Interesting. It's fascinating. Now, all joking aside, and to not be enraged by how stupid that is, yet not surprising in the Democratic People's Republic of California, I will say this. The prosecutor will drop these charges. The reason why, the last thing that that prosecutor wants on the books is something that says vandalism is wrong and that vandalism could be considered a hate crime, because watch how I can turn that around. If they prosecute these people, I will go to California, to where this is, and I will post up "It's okay to be white" stickers everywhere, and I will call the police every time someone tears it down. And by your law, it's a hate crime, because it's okay to be white. It's not a racist statement, and it's a slogan. Just as much a slogan as Black Lives Matter. Hell, we could put up one that says White Lives Matter or All Lives Matter and then call the cops and then demand that those people be charged with a hate crime. Same, same. That's what equality is, right? The other reason is they don't want the defense to be able to use, you know, the argument that Black Lives Matter is an organization, not a statement. You can't commit a hate crime against a political organization, because remember, Black Lives Matter isn't even a nonprofit. They're an actual for-profit organization. And all I would need to do as a defense attorney is prove that they're a political organization with political means, show donations and money that are going to Democrat candidates, and easily say, you're taking away someone's First Amendment rights here. Especially because, see, that mural was approved by the city. And so who went to the city? Was it a representative of an organization called Black Lives Matter? Interesting. That would mean that these people could be protesting that organization. Not a statement, an organization. And also, did that organization donate to the prosecutor? Did they donate to the mayor? Did they donate to any of these people? Yeah. This case is going to get thrown out because it's so politically tinged. And all you have to do is say, oh, this is an organization that you support. You can't try this. You can't. Oh, the prosecutor. Oh, yeah, he met with these Black Lives Matter people. He can't try this case. Oh, the judge put out hashtag BLM on Facebook. You can't try the case. That's what happens when you force these things. So it will get thrown out. Doesn't make it better. I understand. Conservatives, once again, I implore, figure out where we're actually at here. Stop pretending like the Democrats don't want to completely destroy everyone who disagrees with them. Stop pretending like America's just going to go back to normal if you do nothing and you just get a few extra votes in November. Our final story, Harper's Bazaar put out a letter. They published a letter which was filled with the same self-righteous circle jerking we've come to identify with self-important liberals. It discusses how bad censorship is and how open debate only makes us better. Granted, they claimed that it was that the right wing was the group who engages in censorship and blocking of free debate. And only recently has the left begun committing such heinous crimes. So obviously, whomever wrote the letter hasn't been paying attention for the last decade or more. But, you know, what happened after the letter was published was wonderful. It was a gift. Liberals who signed the letter saw who else signed the letter. People like J.K. Rowling. You know, J.K. Rowling doesn't like transgender. She thinks it takes away from the feminist movement. So they freaked out. All the libs freaked out. They didn't want to be included anymore. And they've been demanding a retraction. They're upset. They all signed a letter that talked about how it was good to accept other people's opinions and how open and free debate is healthy for a healthy democracy and a healthy nation. And then the minute they found out that somebody that signed the letter didn't agree with them, they don't want to sign the letter anymore. This is the liberal left. This is the Democrat Party. They don't want to coexist with you. They hate you and want you dead. It's that simple. We need to stop pretending like we're not actually in a cold civil war. We need to stop pretending like we can just, on November 3rd, pull a lever and make this all go away. It's not that simple. There are a lot of Democrat voting Americans, I'm sure, that don't like what they're seeing. And they should be encouraged to speak up. Because right now, the Democrat Party supports all of this. Cancel culture. Attacking young women who just want to go to college because they support Trump. Attacking people for calling the police. Attacking people because of their political views. Silencing them. Ruining their lives. Encouraging assaults. Encouraging murder. Encouraging destruction. All of this is supported by a major political party in this country. And that's the Democrat Party. Show me where they're standing against it. Show me where they're standing against any of it. I'll show you plenty of times where they're supporting it. It's a party that no longer wants the United States that we believe in. It's no longer a party that supports this country or its fellow citizens. How are we supposed to feel any different? Either the Democrat Party needs to change, or we need to get rid of it. This ideology that the party has grabbed onto, this ideology of shutting everybody down, punishing anyone they disagree with, hurting people just because they didn't vote the way you thought they should, is a cancer. And it needs to be excised from the American body. It's a malignant tumor that will only rot from the inside. And what the hell are conservatives going to do about it? We are running out of time for a political solution. And that solution doesn't end on November 3rd. I'm Aaron Bierlein, and I'm keeping an eye on the left.